My name's Elisa, and I'm sharing my testimony. Excuse the wind outside. Okay, so for about 17 years, I struggled with many problems. It all started when I was about 4 because I was sexually abused, but they didn't really manifest until I was about like 2nd grade. And I started feeling anxiety. I used to have panic attacks. I used to feel my bed shake at night and things pulling my sheets off the bed. And, you know, obviously there were demons pulling my feet at night. And I had some relief when somebody came and started praying. And the only relief I got was if I slept with a Bible over the head of my bed. And then it stopped for a while. And but after that, you know, my family and I, we weren't ever aware about panic attacks or anxiety, depression, anything like that. That was like unheard of. So I just kind of, after that, I started feeling very depressed until I got older. I was diagnosed with major depression, panic disorder, psychosis, because I used to hallucinate and hear voices. I used to cut myself, burn myself, rip hair out of my hair or my head, punch myself, anything to hurt myself pretty much. I attempted many times to commit suicide and to self-harm. I used to take bottles of medicine, not to commit suicide, but just to hurt myself, or to numb myself from these feelings. It was awful. Just always feeling scared, always feeling sad. And I mean, for those who have depression or have had it or have had panic attacks, there is nothing like it. That impending fear that just burns and just lives at the bottom of your stomach and your heart, just, and never goes away no matter what you do. So all you can do is try to numb it. And I went to therapy, I went to classes, I had a psychiatrist, a therapist, a drug and alcohol counselor, and you know, those things helped sometimes, but it's just coping, because in the real world there's no cure, right? And I was hospitalized many times for these issues. I would have psychotic breakdowns and I would lose touch of reality. I could not go to school anymore, so they put me in a special ed program so that I could start late and just pretty much just hang out to try to at least participate in daily school activities. But it was extremely hard. As I got a little older, maybe my late teens, I was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. So it's very manipulative as well. I don't know if you guys have heard of that, but it's like when you can't really maintain relationships, you fear abandonment, self-harm, and just like you can never be alone pretty much. Like I was always clingy. I had I think this is why I had a nurse practitioner who used to take care of me, and she was like, "You're too much for me, I just can't." I mean, she didn't say it like that, but in a professionally tone and manner, she said she was not able to help me. So I was again taken to another psychiatrist. And then I spent some time in residential home because I wasn't safe to go back home after being hospitalized. And of course, I was on lots of meds for depression, for anxiety. I used to take Ativan. That was my anti-anxiety medication that I used to take. I was ordered to take it 6 times a day. That wasn't enough. I used to pop those things all day, I mean, it would never take it away, but at least it would kind of mellow me out a little bit, just enough so I wouldn't go drive myself crazy, literally. And pushing forward. I think by the time I was 18, I was in a conference room when I was at the psych ward in Washington because all the beds in Oregon were filled. Six psychiatrists, top six, I guess, from what they told me, they diagnosed me with schizophrenia. And I was, you know, that's kind of like a death sentence in a way, because those things, when you're diagnosed with something like that, it's for life. And I was legally able to live off the government. I was, you know, they said, you know, because of your severe mental health, you don't, you know, you can't work. And so I was, if I wanted to, I would have been able to live for free pretty much for the rest of my life. But I was young, and that was devastating for me and my family. And I remember sitting in the hospital and I'm thinking, like, my goodness, like, what am I gonna do? And that's when my dad came, and his friend mentioned Pat in his church, and I started going. I'm like, well, that sounds stupid, but I'll go because I'm desperate. I mean, I'll try anything, right? So I started going, and yes, I had a lot of feuding with Pat and some of the other brothers there, because I didn't like what they said. But I don't think it was necessarily that I didn't like it. It was just that my oppressors, or the oppressors I had, didn't like it. And I had heard about instant healing, and, you know, Jesus can set you free and all this stuff. And I thought it was bogus. But I remember that was the first thing I was delivered from. Pat and everybody else prayed for me, and I was instantly healed from hallucinations. I never had another hallucination again after that. So I was like, wow, that's pretty big. Maybe this will work. I don't know. So they worked hard with me, and I heard about things I had never heard of. And this was all Bible, okay? So this is not like, oh, she or he said it and this is why it works. No, it's just that they were teaching it, and it's all in the Bible. And why other churches are not teaching it, I have no idea. And it's very sad that in so many churches we have people suffering from mental health, from physical illness, all kinds of things, and nobody mentions this. And if anything, people will say, like, oh, it's because you've sinned, or oh, it's something you've done. Or, like, I even had somebody say, you know, oh, you were sexually abused because God wanted it that way. It's like, no, he would never ever allow that. So I kept at it. Again, it was difficult. It's so, this whole thing, being set free, it's easy, but it's also hard, because you've been conditioned and told your whole life, like, it only works this way. But it's not true. So through Jesus Christ, you don't cope, right? So in the world, you cope, like, take your medicine, go to classes, and yes, you can cope, and you can maybe live a fair life. But with Jesus Christ, you are completely free. So you're no longer coping, you're free. It's no longer there. So after, you know, one thing at a time, things started to go away. I used to only work 3 hours a day, and to me that was like a lifelong, because I was at work, I was trying to cut myself, I was having panic attacks, and I was so depressed, just this, like, horrible depression. And it's like, how can I work any more than this? But that's all I could do, and I did my best. And then slowly I went, you know, through my process of being free, I went up to 5 hours, and then 6 hours, and then I worked a full shift. So for me, working 8 hours was a double shift, okay? So I would call my mom, you know, kind of bragging, like, oh my God, I just worked a double shift, and she was so happy for me, you know, because that was unheard of. And I got attacked one more time, and they hit me hard, I mean, with everything. So I was starting to feel good, and I wasn't completely free yet at this time. So I was starting to feel good. I'm like, okay, this is working. And And I got hit hard. Oh man, it was hard. Like I felt like I just got knocked down to the ground, and I was just like trying to crawl myself back up, and I couldn't. And I called Pat, you know, and I was like, "You don't understand, like something bad's happening." He's like, "No, you've been free." And I was so mad at him, and I was mad at the other pastor who was helping me. I was like, "You guys don't get it. Like something is wrong with me." But it was just part of the process. Like I just had to get back up, and I did. I did. Yes, I was pissed off, but that made me more, I guess, aggressive to attacking these oppressors. And like the Bible says, resist the devil and he shall flee. And so I had to resist. And almost immediately I was set free. So then me and this other pastor, his name was Ken, we went to go see my psychiatrist, and we were trying to do things the right way, right? Because if you try to go off your meds and you say, you know, you feel better, they'll either say it's delusional, like you're being delusional, or it's because the meds are working. And yes, this is true again in the real world, but I was set free. This was a spiritual fight. So I went in and I said, "Hey, I don't want to take my meds anymore." He's like, "Absolutely not. You need them. You have schizophrenia, blah, blah, blah." I was like, "All right, well, can I taper?" And he said, "No." And so I said, "Fine." So I'm like, "Okay, thank you. I'll see you later," you know, whenever my next appointment was. I never went back because I didn't need it anymore. I was completely set free. I went home and I remember I told Pat, I was like, "Do you think I should just throw my meds away?" And he said, "You know, I would, but, you know, do what your doctor tells you, obviously, because you don't want to just tell somebody, don't take your meds or stop taking them. You know, and there's adverse effects like withdrawals," but he's like, "You can handle it, you know?" And I was like, "Okay." So I just, you know, again, I did this on my own. Nobody told me to. I just felt in my heart like that was a step for me because I was so dependent on these meds. Like my life depended on this. And so I went home and I flushed all my meds down the toilet except for the Ativan. I was like, I might want to keep these in case, you know, something happens. And so later on, moving forward, maybe a few weeks or months, I can't remember. You know, Pat started teaching me now about walking with Christ and living in faith and walking in faith. And I was like, "What is he talking about?" And so anyway, I started to learn more, read the Bible, practice the scriptures and all that. And so finally one day I was like, "Oh my goodness, keeping this Ativan here is just kind of me not trusting God, right? Because I have it there just in case, even though I'm set free." So I was like, "No, I need to throw these away." So I dumped them down the toilet, and I never had a panic attack or anxiety attack again. So there it is. That was my testimony. And I've had a lot more testimonies since then. I'll record more. After I was set free, it took a full year for me to accept and learn to be happy, because I had never been happy. I had never experienced joy. Like, I always thought joy and happiness was kind of like the same thing, but joy, wow. There was days I couldn't handle it, and I mentally try to tell myself something is wrong, like this can't be right, you know, like why are you feeling like this? But that's joy. It just took me a while to get used to it, and it's kind of funny now to me because it took me a full year. Like, who doesn't want to be happy, you know? Who doesn't want to feel joy in their heart? And of course that's all I ever wanted. And after a year I learned and accepted to live in this world happy and joy through Jesus, and just live the abundant life that he wants me to live. And yeah, and I've been growing ever since. And now I go through, like, you know, your normal adult stuff, your normal life stuff, like, "Oh crap, I forgot my coffee at home, and I'm a little worried, you know, about caffeine withdrawals or something like that, or, you know, my car's not starting, or I have to go to work, you know, normal stuff, not this, like, I can't fall asleep, or I wake up, you know, crying, scared out of my mind, or I'm hallucinating, or just worried about being attacked. That was my life every day. It was horrible, 24 hours a day, because there were days that I was awake for 72 hours, and I was just constantly in this battle of panic attacks and depression and hallucinating and hearing these voices, and it was awful. And I would just go on the street. I was kind of like, you know, I would roam around downtown Portland, just like you see those people down there. I used to do that. Yeah, it was horrible. I have scars all over my arms and in my legs, and I have places where I've had stitches, you know, from really deep cuts, and I look at them now, and I just praise God, because that is my only proof. So people now, when they meet me and I share my testimony to them, they don't believe me. They think I'm exaggerating, you know, oh, it couldn't have been that bad, you just seem so happy and blah blah blah. And I'm like, look at my arms, and they look, and they're shocked. They're like, oh, like, seriously, you did this? And wow, you know, and they're in complete shock. So I'm grateful I have my scars, and I hope they never fade, because it's part of my testimony. It's not because, oh, it's a reminder, it means something to me. No, it's just like, it's part of my testimony, and it's nothing to hide. And I like it when people ask, you know, like, what happened? Because then I can share my testimony, or I can, you know, share my love for Jesus and what he's done for me. And I'm so grateful every day. I'm just so grateful that he took me out of that pit, of just because I was in hell. I really was. It was horrible, horrible, day and night. And my family, they're just so happy because they suffered a lot. My mom used to go to church begging on her knees to please not allow the devil, you know, to get a hold of me, because I was, you know, I was so suicidal all the time. She would just go there on her knees and cry to God to please, like, if I do die, that it was because God wanted me to die and not because I committed suicide. It was bad. It was awful. So for anybody out there, yes, the world will help you cope, and nobody wants that. We all want freedom, and it's 100% guaranteed. It's not, oh, it's someone's teachings or nothing like that. It's all in the Bible. It's all there. It's from Jesus Christ. It's 100%. It's all truth. Your battle, I don't know why, for some people it's instant. So for some people,